paid
260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man.
Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
We are back. The Kickback Pod back yet again, just in time for Black Friday, just in time for the holiday season. I know it's been a minute. It's been a minute since our last episode, and we will be actually giving you guys some updates on plans for the podcast for next year. So we'll be getting into that. As far as this episode goes, you guys might know me and Fobs were recently actually in Japan, not at the same time. We were separated by just about a week, actually.
But, yeah.
It was super coincidental, but we'll talk a bit about, you know, our trips, about what we saw there, and as far as, you know, the sneaker scene, as far as the fashion, everything great about Japan, and also giving you guys a preview for Black Friday this year. We got tons and tons of really, really nice sneakers dropping, actually. It's a pretty strong Black Friday lineup from all the brands. So we will be getting into some of our favorite drops from this year's Black Friday. Before we get into all that, though, Fobs, haven't seen you in a minute, man. How you doing?
Bro, I'm good, man. I'm, you know, going through the early stages of winter depression Berlin brings with it. But I'm super excited for Christmas. Excuse me, sorry. I'm super excited for like the holiday season and kind of taking advantage of the Christmas markets this year, now that Lenny is a little bit older and a little bit more mobile. You mentioned it, kind of super excited for next year, what we have discussed in terms of changing the podcast structure and stuff like that, but we'll get into that in a couple minutes. Overall, man, I'm just excited, you know, like a new year coming up, new everything. It's been a good year so far, and we'll talk more about that in our end of year recap, where we present our top five shoes each and just kind of go over the year in general. But no, man, I'm good. What about you, dude? How have you been?
I've also been getting over the depression. My depression mainly came from coming back from 3 weeks in Korea and Tokyo and Japan, and coming back to Germany and getting back into work and all that, and it's cold and gray, and yeah, the depression hit really hard, man, I'm not gonna lie.
Having to deal with Germans, you know, instead of South Koreans and Japanese people,
yeah,
the friendliness is just a different level, actually, you know?
Actually, since coming back, I have gone super hard into learning German, so I've gotten a private tutor. I literally do half an hour of Duolingo every single day now, because I am on a mission to get to level B1 by like middle of next year. So
wait, of Japanese or of German?
No, of German.
Oh,
of German.
Okay. I thought you were talking about Japanese.
No. No, man. No. That's good. Japanese is going to take like a good maybe 5 years to get to B1. So I wanted to actually give you guys some plans for the podcast for next year. So you guys know now, we've been doing this for a couple of years. And when we first started the pod, our mission was, we're going to be dropping episodes bi-weekly, giving you updates on everything happening in the sneaker world, sneaker news updates and whatnot. And our life circumstances have changed quite a bit over the last couple of years, both me and Fobs. We're both doing full-time jobs that are pretty demanding. Fobs is now a father as well. That is still so crazy. You guys, of course, the listeners, you guys have noticed, of course, that we haven't been too consistent when it comes to dropping the pods. So we want to go into like a newer format next year. Also, guys, keep in mind, this podcast, it is a labor of love. We do this podcast because we love talking about shoes with you guys. And it's just something we just do for fun. We're not making any money off of this pod. This is simply a labor of love. And going into next year, we want to be giving you guys a more consistent schedule. So going forward, we want to be basically introducing the concept of seasons of the podcast, where we drop, we're going to aim for 10 episodes in the year. So approximately one episode a month with a summer break in between. These episodes are going to be focusing on the big sneaker moments, bigger topics, for example, you know, like best sneakers of the year, reactions to any big sneaker news, maybe like a fashion week, a roundup, some of the more bigger topics. And we will be consistently giving you guys those episodes. You will know exactly when to expect it. And yeah, we just want to be much more consistent and be honest with you guys about when we will be dropping these episodes. Yeah, we were just talking also pre-pod, just maybe we might have a few more plans, but we'll reveal those as they come. But for now, those are the plans for next year. I want to thank, first of all of the listeners that have hung in there. This is now episode 73.
Damn, of the pod. Dude. 73 episodes. And for a while, yeah, man, we were hitting them bi-weekly too for a very, very long time. I think it was really just like me becoming a dad and us becoming more busy and getting promoted at work that made us stop producing bi-weekly. But I think next year, more consistent, bigger topics, maybe even longer episodes, deeper dives, you know, really taking care to provide you guys with, you know, our takes on some of the biggest topics and not really getting bogged down in the small stuff that, you know, we can maybe talk about on social media and stuff like that. So we're really putting in an effort to have like a real content strategy. I think this 2025 is the year that the Kickback Pod grows up and, you know, really tries to get their ducks in a row.
Yes. That is definitely what we're aiming to do. And yeah, once again, thanks for all the listeners for hanging in there so far. As far as the rest of the year goes, we're going to be dropping this episode. And then next month, December, of course, you're going to be getting that end of year episode where we give you guys our top sneakers of the year. And I'm still scratching my head. I still have no idea what's going to be on that list because it has been, in my opinion, a very, very strong year for sneakers. Not too many super hype releases, but as always, I say that's a great thing. We have way more choice as sneakerheads. But now, you know, we're going to be getting into what we've been wearing, some of our latest pickups. Before that, our listener of the week, shout out to Josh Hume. Thank you for listening to the pod and for DMing me the other day asking me when is the next episode coming. Well, here it is. And shout out to you, Josh. So let's get into what we have been wearing. Fobs, you kick us off.
Bro, I've been wearing a lot of New Balance recently to combat kind of the grayness of Berlin winter. I've been wearing my Joe Fresh Goods 990 V3s with you know, the really colorful blue and green makeup. Ooh, I really like those.
You still got those, huh? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I really loved them when they first came out. Still love them now. Don't wear them as often just because there's so much choice in so many other shoes. But I've been making a conscious effort to pull them out more and more because, I don't know, they inject a little bit of color into my outfit, color into my day, which is quite nice. And then on the flip side, I've actually been wearing a lot of the 990 V6, just the gray colorway, the OG gray colorway, which, you know, is the complete opposite of the Joe Fresh Goods, but also very, very solid shoe. You can wear it with pretty much anything. And it's honestly become my beater, man. Like, I'm riding my bike to work.
For sure, still. Mine too, actually.
Yeah, I'm still riding my bike, and like even when it's wet, like I'm trying. It's not that I'm trying to avoid public transport. It's just like riding my bike for 30 to 40 minutes every day is like just a good exercise in a way, you know. Especially when you're sitting at a desk at the office, you don't really get up much. So that one's got like, it's been wet, it's been rained on. There's been like rain, snow on it in the last few days, but it's still holding up really nicely. And then
Get into your next shoe, I just wanted to share one observation I've had, because for me as well, the 990 V6 gray pair is my daily beater, where it's by far my most worn shoe. And I noticed, do you have any other pairs of V6s?
No, this is my only one.
Okay, so I noticed the other day I wore my pair of Action Bronson 990 V6s, and there's like a significant difference I felt in terms of like the bounciness of the shoe. Like, oh, yeah? I felt like the Bronson pair, because I barely wear those. I maybe wear those like once a month, if that. That pair just felt like there was way more spring in my step versus my V6s, because I've been wearing them every day. Maybe like it just felt very flat when I compared the two shoes side by side. And I was going to ask you if that's something maybe you noticed too, if you have other like newer pairs of V6s.
I mean, I don't have any other pairs of V6s, but it would make sense, right? If you're wearing a pair of shoes every day, then the springiness kind of not gets lost, but you tread. I'm wondering if, because the general release is a general release and then the Action Bronson one is a collaboration, whether there was some sort of difference.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering too.
They, you know, with the injection into the midsole, maybe they made it a little bit springier because, you know, obviously Action Bronson is a heavy set guy, and if they're making shoes for him, maybe he just kind of wanted them to be a little bit more resistant to weight. I don't know. But maybe this is a call for you to start wearing your Action Bronson ones as a beater and then compare them.
true. Yeah. Anyways, yeah.
No, and
then
and
your last pair?
My last pair is just the Union Air Jordan 4s in Top Haze. I've just been pulling them out not so often, but every once in a while when I'm like meeting up with friends, or, you know, Amadeus and I from Oshun, we went to the Crepe City convention the other weekend, and I pulled those out then, just, you know, like little special occasions here and there when the weather permits it. So those are the three shoes I've been wearing the most. And
fire, man, fire pairs.
Yeah, and I'm hoping to have a different set of three shoes for the next episode. I'm really making a concerted effort to kind of like wear
your shoes,
wear more of my shoes, you know, like, because there's so many under my bed or in my cellar that I'm just like not touching, but that I really like. So I want to pull them out a little bit and flex like the variety I have in my collection.
Did you buy anything at Crepe City?
Almost.
Ooh, what did you almost buy?
I almost bought a pair of Prime Knit Casa Racers, like the... Ooh. Yeah, they were like worn, right? But they only cost 80 euros, and I was going to get them, but they were half a size too small. They were just a little bit too tight. I've been looking for them for a while. It's the ones with like the white gray prime knit toe. Wasn't the very, very first ones. I don't know if they were called the Casa Racers or just the Casa Low, but yeah, they've been on my bucket list for a while. We'll put the link in the show notes as well. And yeah, didn't get them, even though the price was really good. It's just the size didn't fit, man.
Yeah. Okay.
What about you, man?
Those are good. That's a good rotation lately. So, I mean, I'm mainly just going to give you the three pairs I wore on my three-week trip through Asia. So I took the Vomero Supersonics with me. You guys know I'm still the president of the Vomero fan club. And this colorway for me is maybe the best colorway, man, of the Vomero to drop in the last like couple of years. For some reason, the European release was a year after the North American release. Don't know why that happened, but I was able to use a discount code and I got it like 30 euros off. So I got it for under retail, and it arrived the day before my trip, which was perfect. I took those with me, walked so many steps every day, probably like 20k steps in those, and they were getting beat, really beat up. And of course, they held up pretty well. My feet were hurting a bit towards the end, but I think that's because it's pretty normal. If you're walking 20,000 steps every day for 3 weeks, your feet are going to hurt after a while.
Yeah, for sure.
So I took the Vomero Supersonics with me. Awesome shoe. It surprised me every time it would glow in the dark. I kept forgetting that it could do that. Pretty cool pair. Another pair that this I actually copped during my trip from the Kith store in Tokyo. That is the Kith collab with ASICS on the Gel Nimbus 10.1, which was, wow, man. I had no expectation of copying anything from Kith that day. I just went in there to actually just get some footage and collect my Kith points. But I saw this collab on the shelf and I was like, whoa, first of all, what is that model? I've never even seen that model before. And the colorway, this like bluish gray colorway, just was like super, super fire. Like the last time I saw that colorway was on like some Yeezy models, like those Yeezy 700s. They had like this Inertia colorway that was like the similar color.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looked so sick on the ASICS pair. And it was like, they just happened to have it on shelf, even though it was sold out pretty much everywhere else. So I ended up getting it. And even because I'm a foreigner, I managed to get them for way under retail. I didn't have to pay tax, so we can talk about that a little bit later when we get more into Tokyo shopping. But I ended up paying 130 euros for that.
Oof.
And the retail price in Europe was 180, so that's already like a huge discount. Great. And I wore those quite a lot on the trip. Very comfy pair. And the last shoe that I took with me, I actually only took two shoes, the Vomero and the Kikos. It's the Kiko Asics UBS GT 2160, like the brown colorway, the brown and purplish color, which for me is still one of the most underrated pairs of Asics to drop this year and one of my favorites. And they're perfect, I would say. If you're going to be going on a trip, the GT 2160 works really well. It holds up really well. And those are the three pairs I've been really rocking a ton and put a lot of miles in them.
Very nice. Very nice. Very, they're all very similar shoes in a way, you know? Obviously,
the two runners, I guess.
Yeah, the two Asics, and then you've got the Vomeros. Speaking of pickups, you obviously picked up the Kith Asics in Tokyo. I have been back from Tokyo for a month and a half, almost 2 months now, and I haven't picked up anything since then because I picked up so much whilst in Tokyo. I'm not even going to list everything that I got, but I picked up a couple of Needles track pants. I almost got a matching track top, and then I was like, yeah, there were so many things as well that I just didn't get. That
and it's so much cheaper there, right? Like when you do the conversion?
Yeah, most of it's pretty cheap, yeah, or much cheaper than here, depending on the stuff, right? I got a pair of Issey Miyake pants and a bag as well, like a little shoulder bag. I was going to get two pairs of pants, but every time that I was like, ooh, I really should use me being here to get more, I was like, my bank account is not going to thank me, you know? And so I had to make some really hard cuts. There were a lot of stuff that I left there that I wish I got, but it's just more motivation to go back. Like, we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but like I was in the North Face Purple Label store and I was like looking at a couple jackets there and some pants and some accessories, and in the Porter store as well, Porter Yoshida, looking at some bags there. Man, I mean, there's just so much good stuff in Tokyo, and we'll get into that in a second. So yeah, my pickups were really just the Needles track pants and the Issey Miyake pants and bag, as well as some like smaller things. What about you, man? You've probably got some really nice sneakers over the last couple weeks.
We'll talk later, I guess, about stuff I've picked up in Tokyo. But as far as like other shoes since getting back, first of all, big shout out to Hidden New York. They sent me their latest collab on the Gel Venture 6 Shield. A lot of people were surprised with the model that they chose. You know, people were expecting the Kayano 14s. I actually really liked that they went with this pair, and I liked the whole marketing and a promotional around it, which focused more on this like archaeological theme, like looking for dinosaur fossils, things like that. And the shoe is sick. Like, I really like the colorway. I like the turquoise color on the Asics logo. And the shield, the Gel Venture 6 shield, it has like a rubber, not just a mud guard, I guess it covers like the entire upper of the shoe almost, preventing it from scuffs, preventing it from, you know, like dirt or anything affecting your shoes. It is like a trail running shoe after all, so it's great that you have some protection there. Although a shoe this clean, I don't know if I want to wear it while going trail running, you know, like I'll probably wear like something beat up to do that. But very, very grateful that Hidden sent me this pair, and that was one of my main pickups. I have to spend a little bit longer talking about this next pickup, because for me it's like shoe of the year. It's hard to call it sneaker of the year because it's not really a sneaker, but it is for me like the best pickup, the pickup that I got by far the most excited for out of any pickup this year. And that was the Junya Watanabe loafers, the New Balance collab, the 1906 L. And I just think these shoes are so perfect for someone like me, because I see the trends, you know, like people, at least on TikTok or whatever, you know, like in the fashion world, there's been like this move away from sneakers towards the, I guess, other types of footwear. And I'm not a big fan of other types of footwear, to be honest. You know, I don't even understand why people wear them. I find them so uncomfortable. They do look good, I'll give you that, but they're so uncomfortable that I'm just like, I don't know why you would even want to wear those pairs. This shoe right here kind of like is the perfect shoe for me, because I love how, like, you know, it looks dressy, but also looks like streetwear at the same time. It's got that 1906L outsole, which is super comfortable if you guys have worn a pair of those before. And I much prefer those junior pairs compared to the regular 1906Ls because these pairs actually look like what it's intended to look like, which is a sneaker loafer. You got the leather upper, and it does look like a normal loafer, whereas I find some of the regular inline pairs, because of that mesh upper, it still, to me, comes off looking a bit more sneaker-ish than loafer. The retail price is a bit high, I'll give you that. Like, it was like 270 euros retail for these, which is quite a lot of money. But man, I love these. Like, I see me wearing these a ton over the next like year or so, because I think it's like a perfect transition shoe for someone who wants to like experiment a bit more with other types of footwear, which is me.
I think they've done a really good job as well, as you highlighted, to like balance the loafer characteristics with the like core nature of what the shoe used to be, right? As a sneaker, because you see so many sneaker loafers over the past years, it's just like, it's literally, they just cut off the heel basically, or chop the top off a sneaker to make it a loafer, rather than really trying to tastefully adapt to this. And I think that's where New Balance and Junior Watanabe they've basically hit it on the nail.
Yeah, I agree. Like, this is the first, I talked about this when I reviewed the shoe, like, I think this is the first attempt we've seen at one of these types of shoes that looks like a fully integrated product, you know, rather than just like you said, just cut the bottom off and put a sole on it, you know, like this doesn't look like that at all. It looks like they really incorporated even like almost like the upper of a 1906R with the look of a loafer. And I think they nailed it. I think New Balance just killed it with this pair. I'm excited to cop some of the regular colorways as well, besides the juniors. But yeah, that was my favorite pickup by far. Also picked up the Up There Store 860 V2s, the second pair, the pink and purple pair. I have to admit, when I opened the shoe, I kind of regretted my purchase a little bit, because I found them, they were a bit too loud, like a bit more loud than I expected. I don't know how much wear I would get out of a shoe like that, but I did like this colorway a bit more than the first colorway that dropped, that green and purple looking colorway. Congrats to Up There Store for, they've had a pretty good collaboration history now with New Balance, so shout out to them. And then, did I only talk about New Balances in these pickups? Because I have one more, I talked about ASICs also, but yeah, I got one more New Balance pickup, and this was an early Black Friday steal. We'll talk a bit more, of course, about like Black Friday places to shop a bit later, but I picked this up from Overkill. They had a sale going where it was like an extra 25% off shoes already on sale. And last year, I forgot what season two or season three of Made in USA New Balance, there was this pink pair of New Balance 996s that I thought just looked so nice, really nice pink suede. Like a really nice, like brighter looking pink color. And I don't have any shoes like that. So that shoe is always kind of like on my mind. And I managed to get this shoe for 75 euros. Oof, down from 250.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's a crazy steal, man. Like and they only had one pair available and it was exactly my size. So I'm like, yeah, this is like, all the signs are pointing at me to like buy this shoe. So I just pulled the trigger, got those. They don't even have any more sizes left. I took the last one, sorry. But yeah, I was very happy with that pickup.
Very nice, man. It's been very much runners for you today. Lots of ASICs, lots of New Balance.
Yeah, man. I'm prioritizing comfiness these days, bro, above everything else. I want to be comfortable.
Dude, that's the way to go, man. That's my motto. That should be everybody's motto. Okay, cool. That's what we've been wearing on our latest pickups. Now let's jump right into the first meaty part of this episode, Tokyo and South Korea. Should we start with just like our favorite neighborhoods, give like a little bit of a overview?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, you guys, for those of you who haven't been there to Tokyo before, you can definitely like watch my previous vlog where I talked about all of the different best stores to shop and all of that. But so this particular trip to Tokyo was a bit different for me. It was my third time going there and also my second time in less than a year. And it did feel a lot different than all my previous trips because it felt like super familiar. Like I barely even looked at my phone. Like I knew exactly where to go. I felt like, oh man, I've done this before so many times. It feels like a second home at this point. That's how this trip felt to me. So I made it a point to kind of go to some areas that I had never really been to before. And one particular area that I really loved was, it's called Daikanyama. And also there's a neighboring area called Megaru, I think. And these two neighborhoods are just south of Shibuya. Like you can just literally walk to Daikanyama from Shibuya or Scramble. And it's just like, I would say like a 10-minute walk. And it's like so nice, okay? Because it's almost like, it made me feel like all the cool people in Tokyo, they knew about this place and they knew to come here because tourists don't know about it. And it's where like, there's a lot of really cool stores there as well. Like the main capital location, which was there, which is such a beautiful store. Like that store is in Daikanyama. Also the main location of Ivisu Jeans is also in Daikanyama. There's so many like thrift shops over there as well. And I would just notice, like I would walk by like restaurants, like brunch places, regular restaurants. And I look at the crowd in there and it just looks like every restaurant looked like a really, really cool crowd, you know, like everyone was dressed really cool. And it just seemed like, okay, this is the neighborhood that we don't want you tourists to know about. So they probably didn't like seeing me there, but it just felt like a super cool neighborhood that I've never really checked out before. So maybe, if you're looking to, you know, book accommodation in Daikanyama is definitely much cheaper than in Shibuya, even though it's just very close to Shibuya. So that was like my neighborhood discovery during this trip.
Yeah, that place was also super dope. I walked around it. And the nice thing is, as you said, it's like right there in the center where all of the other hotspots are, but maybe a little bit less known or less traveled by the mainstream tourists. The place where I stayed was actually quite similar. It's called Akasaka, and it wasn't so busy. It's a little bit more businessy, but it's close enough. Like in, you know, you jump on the train and you're in Shibuya Harajuku for in like 15 minutes, 20 minutes max. Take a cab, it's like 10 minutes. So that was really cool, just like experiencing normal life kind of in such a crazy touristy place as well. And I have a couple of friends who live in Tokyo, childhood friends that I grew up with, went to high school with and stuff like that. And so I visited them, spent some time with them, and they were telling me that, you know, in the last like 2 years, it's been crazy how many more tourists are coming to Japan and specifically Tokyo. And obviously that's because the yen has been relatively weak historically, right? So it is a lot cheaper for people earning euro and US dollar and pound wages to fly there and then spend some time there. But what I found super interesting though, talking to my friends, was that, you know, they also spent a lot of time in these hotspots, you know, not necessarily all the time, but I went to dinner with one of my friends and I told him, yo, take me to a place that like only locals go to. And we went to Shibuya, and it was like two blocks from the Scramble, from the big intersection, right, with the crosswalks. And it was, as so many things in Tokyo are, you know, how you have like Google Maps, which shows you like all the different floors and what's on each floor, right? Which is just so wild to me. But everything is built up. And this place was in the basement of this random like department store. And it was the coolest place we went for dinner that entire trip. It was me, my friend, my other friend who was visiting from London, and then just like a bunch of local Japanese kids, like early 20s, mid 20s, late 20s at the absolute most. It was such a cool hotspot. I was one of only two white people in that place. So it was just so dope and literally a stone's throw from the most touristy place. So I really love how Tokyo is set up in that way where, yeah, sure, there are super touristy places, but it's also places that like locals go. Whereas, you know, in Berlin, like East Side Gallery, you know, I think it's like 90% tourists there, 95% tourists, or people who have the unfortunate office location around there. You know, sometimes in the summers, my colleagues and I will have lunch on the steps by the water there, not because we want to be eating by East Side Gallery, but because our office is right there. But yeah, man, so I really like, you know, Harajuku and Shibuya and the also like the little areas that are like a little bit more townhousey, because you've got an eclectic mix of like more modern, more traditional, or just like really plain houses. And then you've got, you know, cool bars, cool restaurants on the rooftop or a store in the basement. Some of them are also residential. And I just really liked walking around there because it felt so like, yeah, so modern, so different. And then one other place that was like not really connected to shopping and commerce that I really liked was the park that the Imperial Palace is in. It was like a short, like 20, 25 minute walk from my hotel in Akasaka. And I was just exploring. It was a rainy day and literally everybody, like it felt like everybody in Tokyo was running laps around that park. And I spoke to this random guy who was like, "Oh man, why are you not running?" I'm like, "Because I don't want to, dude." But this other tourist, and he was explaining to me that one round of that park, like you run around the outside of the park, is exactly 5 kilometers. And so it's like the perfect distance, like on the dot, he was like, it's 5 kilometers. So it's the perfect distance for people to run their laps. And the funny thing is, as so many things in Japan are like perfectly thought out, everybody's running in the same direction. You know, like sometimes in Volkspark Friedrichshain or wherever, you've got people like running laps in opposite directions. But here it was just like every single person was running the same way because it's just so like not regulated, but like it's just so logical, you know, in Japan. I think that's like the best way to describe it.
Yeah. You know, people always ask me like, yeah, why do you like Tokyo? What's so cool about like Japan? And I always respond with, yeah, it feels like you're kind of in another world sometimes. And that feeling really, for me, mainly comes from like just watching people. Like people are like, in so many ways, they're so orderly when it comes to some things. Like you come out of like a super busy train, and everyone immediately knows to form a perfect queue to like go up the escalator. And it's so like instinctual, like the way happens.
They know where to exit too, right? So like all the subways like, tell you what door you should be exiting to get to where you need to go in the most efficient manner possible. It's so logical, but so next level.
Yeah, you come out of a train in Berlin, man, people are like pushing each other to like go in front of each other while coming up the stairs, you know, like it's very disorderly, right? Like it's amazing. Just sitting there, just watching people in Tokyo is like one of the best things you can do.
Yeah.
I just wanted to quickly talk about just a little bit of a contrast to Korea. Like in Korea, it was like every place is just so far from each other. That like, man, like it felt like I almost felt like I spent most of the trip like kind of just in trains, like going between one place to the other. Like, whereas in Japan, like maybe they just have like a more well-connected subway system or something like that. I didn't feel like I was that long in trains. Whereas in Korea, like every place was like so far from each other. Like that was like one negative thing about the trip. But yeah, I mean, like you guys. I would suggest you guys just watch my most recent vlog on Seoul, especially. I outline everything, like best restaurants, best places to shop at. So I'm not gonna get too deep into it in this one. Let's just focus more on the Tokyo aspect. What else did you like? Did you do some shopping there?
Oh yeah, I mean, as I said, a lot of shopping. I looked at my bank account a couple weeks after I got back to Berlin, and I was like, "Wow, I haven't had this little money in my bank account since I was a student." I think I went a little bit overboard, and I'm paying for it now. But that's fine. You only go to Tokyo every 5 years, in my case. I went to so many stores. I went to all of the, you know, the obvious ones. You sent me a really good list. I checked out all of the secondhand stores. I checked out, you know, Worm for like resale sneakers, which is right above Union Tokyo, which was super dope. The friend that I was with, shout out Danny, he bought this sick coat at Union. We actually saw it on the first day we went there, and then he was like, it's too expensive to buy now. Like, I can't blow my entire Tokyo budget on this one jacket. We'll come back. And then we obviously like spent like a week there, did some other stuff, and then on the last day we're like, all right, let's go back and see if it's still there. And it was still there. It was the last one they had. And so of course he had to cop it. And he's been telling me he's been getting like some really nice compliments in London. So if you see a guy walking around London, I think he lives like London East E3 or something like that. And he's wearing a dope jacket that looks like it could be from Tokyo. Then that's Danny. And then we actually, one of my favorite stores was a store that I didn't buy anything in, but it was just a random store that I saw from the street. It was on the second or third floor of this townhouse building. And at the bottom floor, this was in Harajuku, and the bottom floor was Softnet, right? Like that, the Real Bristol, you know, the FC Real Bristol brand. It does like, they do like elevated sportswear, luxury sportswear. They used to collaborate with Nike a lot, and now they do their own thing. The brand, I think, is called Softnet, and the line is called FC Real Bristol. Really, really cool. And that was the bottom floor. And then the top floor was this store called A&S, or A plus S. And that stood for architecture and sneakers. And it was so dope. You like walk up these stairs to the second floor of this building. You go through this big, heavy oak wood door that looks like you're, I don't know, like knocking on the door of some like British lord, right? You go in there and then everything is like country club like vibes, like wooden walls, mirrors, leather interior. And you go in and they had such a beautiful mix of product. They had On running sneakers, they had, you know, classic Nike shoes, Asics, everything that you would like expect. Not a huge selection, but like a very nice curated selection. So you would have like some like more mainstream models and colorways, and then they had like this crazy 3D printed brand from Tokyo, which I actually posted on my Instagram. They had like four or five different sneakers from that brand. I took a couple videos and posted them, so if you check my timeline, you'll see them. And the crazy thing is they had a couple of like Nike lines that I had never even heard of. They had this like apparel line that it wasn't ISPA, it wasn't ACG, it wasn't technically Nike sportswear, it wasn't Tech Fleece, but it was, I forget what it was called, but it was this like really, really dope looking stuff. And to me, I don't know if it was like a Japan exclusive or something like that, but they had some really, really nice stuff. So architecture and sneakers, if you're ever in Tokyo, please check out that store. It's super nice. Check out their Instagram as well. I think they have a website too. That was my absolute favorite store. And then, you know, Nepenthes, which is where I got my Needles tracksuit. I love like the like secondhand vibes. Obviously everything there is like mostly firsthand, right? Mm-hmm. So that was really dope. The North Face purple label, as I said, I left a lot of stuff there that I wish I could have taken with me. And then there was one store that was really close to the North Face purple label store in Shibuya. It's called the Soccer Shop Kamo, K-A-M-O.
Yeah, that place is crazy,
bro. At so many signed jerseys, so many signed boots on the walls. And the crazy thing about that is they had every single jersey from like the top teams and the top leagues, but they had them as like player edition, right? Which mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just like a bit of a nerd when it comes to jerseys. I prefer to buy the player edition ones. Actually, maybe I'm just a sucker for the marketing, right? But like they cost 150 euros here, and I think they cost around 100 euros there. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because like I went into that shop. And I did the conversion to euros, and I was like, okay, this costs the same as Europe. But I didn't realize they were all player edition.
They were the player edition ones, because I think the other ones cost a lot less, because the normal jerseys now cost like 100 euros, which is crazy. And these ones, and there they cost like 80 or 75 or something like that. But the player edition ones were 100 euros, and they had them for everything. And then they had the player edition training gear, which was insane, which apparently like, I mean, now you can get it. I got the Manchester United European one, the all black one, because it's a lot cooler. It has like the crest in the middle, and then the Adidas logo on the sleeves instead of having the Adidas logo on the chest and the crest on the other chest. So I was just nerding out in there looking at all the stuff that they had, the training gear. They had like bobbleheads, super, super dope. So if you're into football, I would definitely recommend checking out Camo Soccer Shop in Tokyo. They have several locations, I think.
Yeah, no, for sure. That place is definitely for the footballing geeks out there. As far as like favorite places, so yeah, once again, let me just quickly give a sidebar on Korea. So all the stores that I went to in Korea, the most impressive thing about them was the in-store experience. I've never been to any place in the world really that had stores that you walk into the store and it feels like you're on a movie set. Mm-hmm. Like every single store, man. Anderson Bell, Gentle Monster, Adore Error, all these stores, man, the displays were just out of this world. Like I like the amount of money they must have spent on those displays, it blew my mind. I've never been to any country that put such a focus on the in-store experience. So it just made you wanna like visit the stores much more than, you know, buying stuff online. It was just so cool to see. You guys can watch that in my vlog, of course. In Tokyo, I already mentioned Capital over in Daikanyama, one of my favorite stores. You already said Nepenthesis, which yeah, I went a bit crazy in there. And also, by the way, I ended up buying another suitcase, like a huge 25 kilo suitcase
that
I filled up completely. I bought it in Tokyo, yeah, and I filled it up completely. So I went crazy as far as like how much I spent in Tokyo and Korea. And this time I even became a more like upgraded like thrift connoisseur because I found out, well, actually my wife found out that outside of the city of just central Tokyo, there are these like super centers from, it's pretty much where all the thrift stores in Tokyo get their stuff from. And at the super centers, the price is actually a lot cheaper. So we ended up taking trains like multiple times outside of the city, like an hour away from Tokyo to these random towns. And we would go to the thrift stores there. And man, like it's so crazy. Like the stuff you find is like, yo, how is this just chilling here? I found this like Isemiyaki, trench coat, an Isemiyaki trench coat. I looked up the price online of that same trench coat. It was like close to 2,000 euros, and I ended up buying it for 110.
Damn!
Like, and it's basically brand new, bro. It's like perfect condition and so beautiful. So I got that one. I couldn't, you know, finding sneakers for me in the thrift in Tokyo is really difficult because of my shoe size. There's just not a lot of big sizes. But I did find this one pair of Air Force Ones that, like, I'm like, oh, that's a cool colorway, black and purple Air Force One, and it's like new buck and it looked pretty cool. I did like a Google lens of it to find out what shoe it was. It was a 2012 pair, I think it was. It's called the Charles Barkley, mm-hmm, Air Force Ones Away. Okay, so it's literally like a Charles Barkley shoe, and the last sale on StockX was like 400 euros. I got it for 24 euros, and it was like my size too. So I was like so happy with that. Like I don't even wear Air Force Ones that much, but when you see that, you know, like 24 euros for a pair of Charles Barkley Air Force Ones, yeah, I'll take that. So that was those were my like really successful. I had a really like honestly very successful like thrift shopping experience this time. But as far as like a regular retail spending, I spent way more in Korea. Like I spent so much at Anderson Bell because the prices there, when you compare it to European prices, it was almost like 30 to 40% cheaper when you do the conversion. So yeah, and I really love their stuff. So I spend more there for sure. But yeah, man, definitely Christmas budget this year is very restricted.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If anyone listening to the pod, if I just like, even family listening, you might not get a gift this year. I'm sorry, man. Like it just might not happen. Like you need to be like immediate family only.
you're just going to be gifting people like gift cards to experiences like, oh, congratulations, you won one home cooked meal with Josh. Or like,
oh yeah.
Or like, exactly. I'll give you a 20-minute massage.
Redeem this coupon for a massage. Yeah, exactly, man. I'm gonna have to be one of those guys.
Nah, but you know, okay, before we like draw a line under the whole Japan Korea topic, one thing I wanted to say was, for sure, you could get amazing steals both at thrift level, secondhand, and also retail, just because prices there are generally cheaper. Plus, then you get the discount with the tax free, right? So
yeah,
sometimes exactly. Things were already cheaper without tax free, and then you put the tax free on top and it's even cheaper. But what annoyed me a little bit was that certain store, and I didn't really understand it, but certain stores just said that they don't offer tax free. Like Nepenthes, they said that they don't do tax free, even though their price tags had the tax free. Because the price tags always have two prices, right? And I was like, but if it's on the price tag, why not?
Yeah, no. So for those stores, so I'm getting a little technical here, but for those stores, you can still get tax-free, but you get it at the airport. They just don't do it at the store, which is annoying. Yeah, it's definitely annoying. And most of the time, you just forget to go to the airport and do it.
But the thing is, I asked the guy, I was like, oh, so can I do it at the airport? And he's like, nah. He was like, the brand doesn't do tax-free. I'm like, but... And then I was
but
like,
it okay. says tax-free price on the...
Right, and yeah, then I was a little bit hell? Confused. Maybe he was wrong. I don't know. Maybe he was just also lost in translation. I also didn't have time at the airport on the way back. And I mean, like, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining. I think the prices were more than fair, even without the tax-free. It was just a little bit of a, like... Yeah, maybe it was just like a little bit of a mistranslation, miscommunication on my part as well. Because, I get it, though. You know, it takes time for them to fill in your, like, passport details and all that kind of stuff. It might even cost them a little bit to do that, too. So, I think great prices, man. But it's definitely going to be a while until my wallet and my bank account recovers.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of spending a lot of money. Let's get into Black Friday. Let's do it. What's coming up?
So, I mean, we first of all, it is a great time if you're a sneakerhead because, and this is just mainly for the European listeners, there's huge sales happening right now. Sneakers and Stuff is doing 70% off most items, or sheesh. Not most items, but almost a lot of items are between 50 to 70% off. Louisa Via Roma is doing 40% off pretty much the entire store. Overkill is doing like 25% off, even including sales stuff, like I mentioned. BSTN is doing 27% off right now. So it's a very, very good time if you're looking at purchasing any of these items. So let's talk about quickly what is actually releasing on this Black Friday. So we are recording this podcast on November 22nd, a Friday. So actually a lot of really fire sneakers released today. One sneaker that already released is the Dover Street Market Zoom Vomero 5, which released earlier this year. There's still some sizes available online, and this is a pretty sick pair if you wanted a murdered out black Vomero 5, and it even has the DSM logo on the heel as well as on the tongue. And it's also, unlike some of the Vomeros, this one is actually made out of leather. Like, most of it is in leather. Ooh. And you have some mesh there as well. It's a pretty nice pair, pretty nice pair, especially if you, like I said, you just wanted a black Vomero. That one already released. But as far as the shoes that are releasing on the 22nd, we first of all have two pairs of the Clot and Adidas on the Gazelle Indoor. Now, these pairs are a bit different than the previous Clot and Adidas collab because they're not done in that... What are those shoes called? Those espadrilles. They're not done in that espadrille style. They're more of like a regular Gazelle, but they still have the beaded three stripes logo. I don't know if you have you seen them? Have you seen the navy pair and the other one?
They're super dope. I think I almost like these better because I'm not a huge fan of the espadrille. I know you're like, you love those, and those are like one of your best shoes of the year. And you got them, right? You also got them.
Yeah, I got them.
But I'm just a bit more like classic conservative. So I do like the Gazelle outdoor outsole on these. But then that like handmade, almost like craftsmanship upper and the detailing on the upper, super, super nice. So for someone who wants something a little bit different, definitely. I mean, I think when you first said that Klot was like one of your favorite collaborators on Adidas. I was like, I can see what you mean, but personally not really feeling it. But after I see these, I'm like, okay, I can see the direction they're going in now. And if they continue this with some of the more classic Adidas shoes, then Klot will be a force to be reckoned with in 2025.
Yeah, Klot has been just killing it, in my opinion, with all of their Adidas collabs. Yeah, I mean, this pair, maybe, you know, like, demand is not too high on this one compared to the first one. If that blue pair ends up going on sale somehow, like, I will be the first to cop, because the blue one, the colorway looks super, super nice. And yeah, I love the little details on there as well. Let's see, maybe there's a Black Friday sale. We can get lucky. Then also on the 22nd, Sneakers and Stuff is doing a collab sneaker with Salomon on the XT6 Gore-Tex. And I personally really, really like this colorway. I'm a big fan of the Gore-Tex Salomon XT6 anyways. It's my go-to like rainy day sneaker. I have like that grayish looking colorway. But this pair looks sick. It's got like a black, I think like a black or dark brown, like a mud guard almost. And the colorway is just clean. It's a very, and congrats to Sneaker and Stuff, because they've been kind of killing it on the collabs, I would say, this year. They've done 3 pairs of Adidas. I think, did they collab with anyone else? They also, and the Salomon pair as well.
Yeah. I mean, Gore-Tex, Salomon's always go hard. And SNS has been doing really, really nice stuff. I love the yellow detailing on the tongue and the yellow detailing on the branding down the throat of the shoe. Just a very, very solid shoe in general. They're doing really cool stuff. I think the Air Max Sunder Nordic exclusive, is that an SNS exclusive or is that a...
No. So that's not an SNS exclusive. It's only the sneakers app. And Nordic retailers have them. So okay. SNS and Naked, I believe, has it, and Stress 95. And I'm not sure if there's any other Nordic retailers that I can think of, but I know those stores are carrying it. But yeah, it is a pretty limited Air Max Sunder. And in my opinion, okay, I might go out on a limb saying this, but I think it's the nicest looking Air Max Sunder we've seen.
Bro, there's so many nice ones coming out. I mean, you've got the... What it's called, the Obscura, right? Is the official
one.
Name.
That's the Nordic exclusive.
It's got like reflective detailing, as most Air Max Sunders have. It's got almost like a snowflakey pattern on the top, which I think is almost not unique to every shoe, but like relatively unique. There's a lot of really nice stuff coming out on the Air Max Sunder in the next few months. I think I don't know if the Burgundy Crush Baltic Blue version are out yet. Have you seen those? It's got this like gradient upper. It's got like a light blue upper at the toe. And then
Bro, I saw that. I saw that in Seoul. It was at the Comme des Garçons store. That pair released early over there.
Ah.
And dude, I took a picture of that. I put it on my stories, and like people were going wild.
Dude. Yeah,
they were like,
that
is the sickest looking pair.
They're so sick.
It absolutely is. It
I'm
looks
like
insane.
I'm like already scheming. Like, how can I like what shoes can I sell to get myself that? You know, because you know the funds are low at the moment, as I have said many times on this episode. But those Air Max Sunders are super nice. The gradient on top, and the Sunder is also a great winter shoe because of the neoprene upper, the zip. You know, like you can you can basically weatherproof it relatively easy. They're relatively easy to clean, keep clean too. So
and I just like the look of I really like the silhouette. I really like how it's kind of like not too bulky looking. It to me it's like kind of like ninja looking. They're like ninja shoes to me.
And they
look great the way pants sit on them too. I think it's one of the best like retro models that Nike has brought out recently.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
Yeah, and then one more pair dropping today, I think exclusively on Ama Manier's site, is the Air Force Ones, the While You Were Sleeping Air Force Ones, which is done in the similar colorway to their previous pair. So it's like a beige color, beige-ish, like, I don't know how to really describe this, but I would say like a beige taupe color with like a gray swoosh. And another super clean pair from Ama Manier, another very solid year from them. Their pairs this time around don't seem to have like the same level of hype as previous Ama Manier pairs, as like the first two didn't really sell out, and I don't think this one will. But any thoughts on the Air Force One?
Oh, I really, really like them. I love the colorway, the makeup. I mean, I think most people are just a sucker for a good Air Force One. And I don't know if you saw the beef between Lil Yachty and Bima at ComplexCon.
I saw the beef, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is like going in the opposite direction, right? It is not just an all-white Air Force One with a logo on the heel. This is a nice on-brand version from Ama Manier. I'm a huge fan. I'm not going to try and cop them at their release, but if they do end up releasing in Europe, which I assume they will at least 2 to 3 weeks later, I'll definitely be trying to get my hands on a pair because they're super nice.
Yeah, let's see if they do release in Europe, because most of them have been, almost all the pairs so far have been releasing in Europe at a later date, so I'm sure these ones will as well, and you should be able to easily get them, I think.
Yeah.
Moving on to November 23rd is the release of the highly, highly anticipated Black Cement 3s, which, you know, a lot of Jordan heads out there, some would even argue it's like the best Jordan ever. It's the best Jordan 3 ever. This time around, now, it does seem like these are, you know, in reseller terms, bricking, meaning like they're not, they're not having like much resale value. But that is a great thing, because for a lot of you guys out there, this is one of those shoes that you want to double up on, right? Because it's just a classic in the rotation type of sneaker. They don't get dirty. They don't, like, you can wear them for long, many, many years. And we, as a sneakerhead community, we have no idea when Nike and Jordan Brand is going to retro this pair again. They might retro it in, let's say, 2035, right? Like one of the most classic pairs of Jordan 3s ever. Who knows? Jordan 3s currently have been losing popularity too, so they might, you know, phase out or like produce a lot less of them going forward. So we never really know when they're going to bring back the Black Cement 3s. So since no one is really going to be going after them like previous releases of the shoe, it is a good opportunity for the sneakerheads out there to go ahead and grab these, because they will be pretty easy to get. And of course, it is an all-time classic. So do you have any thoughts about this pair?
Classic shoe, always very much appreciated by the culture, by the community. And, you know, obviously stock levels will dictate that resale won't be insane on these, which is a good thing, because I think this is the type of shoe that everybody who wants one should be able to get one. It's, yeah, you know, exactly, synonymous with the history, the culture of the sneaker community. And I'm looking forward to seeing people celebrate the shoe when it drops.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think these are going to, like, you know, sit on the shelves and go on sale or anything like that. They're definitely going to sell out. So if you really wanted a pair, you've always wanted a pair of Black Cement 3s, here is your chance. Then moving on to next week, leading up to Black Friday. So as far as the releases that we know are going to drop so far. One pair that I missed out is also releasing on today. Well, the day we're recording this, November 22nd. That is the Cortez, the Air Huaraches.
Oh yes.
The off-white colorway. So like not the first one was the Gully Gray pair, which I actually ordered and I got a confirmation for 2 weeks ago. And this morning they sent me an email saying my order was canceled and they refunded me. Great.
Nice.
I will still try to go for the other one, the off-whites, just so I can, you know, do a review for you guys. That's also releasing on the 22nd, and people from London love this shoe because it does remind them of the 90s, big 90s vibes with that one. But let's move on to next week. So on November the 26th, we have the Travis Scott CJ1 T-Rex. Yeah, so they seem to have changed the name many times with the shoes. Like they were, what were they, weren't they called like the Cactus Jack before or something?
Yeah, some, I don't know. Honestly, to me, it doesn't matter how many times they rename the shoe. It's just going to be a very mid shoe. So I don't know. For me, it's like.
Do you think this colorway? I have the same thoughts. Like I think it's. I mean, it's a super mid shoe to me at this point. Like to me, it just looks like a generic Travis Scott shoe. But the colorway, like, do you think this colorway is better than any of the first two ones?
Yeah, it's a nicer colorway for sure. I like the pop of red. But again, a colorway can't make a shoe, you know, or a good colorway can't cover up what a shoe is lacking, in my opinion. And yeah, I'm just not a fan. So for me, it's a very kind of miss you know, like it's definitely a miss. I don't need to like mark my calendar for this one.
Yeah, and it to me, it doesn't look like a shoe that should cost 200 euros because that's the retail price on this, which is a bit much.
Yeah, that's wild.
So moving on to November 27th, we have the New Balance 740 dropping with Amine, this super loud, like blue and orange looking pair, which I'm personally going to skip on them. I like Amine. I listen to his music. Shout out to the K Tronada Amine album. But I'm not going to be picking this up. It's just I don't see myself wearing this. And also, if there's two New Balance pairs that I'm just not a fan of in terms of the looks of the model, it's the New Balance 530s, which I've never liked, and the 740s, which seems to be like very similar looking to the 530s. So don't like the model, don't like the colorway. So I won't be copying these. You have any thoughts on them?
Honestly, I kind of like them. I wouldn't wear them just because they're a little bit too loud, but I think Amine is a cool collaborator and brings something different to the table. And I think service is a different type of consumer need for New Balance. The 740, funnily enough, I think it's like the most ASICS looking New Balance out there. But yeah, I mean, it's a good shoe, but it's also not one that I'm going to be running to the computer to get on the 27th. So that's my take.
And two more quick releases. So on the 29th, we have the Adidas AE1 Low Iron Sharpens Iron. So it's like it's a low cut version of the AE1, and it's like a metallic silver colorway. Complex named the Adidas AE1 as the sneaker of the year. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw that. We're gonna have to talk about that in the next episode.
We'll talk about that in the next pod. But interesting. I mean, definitely, I think it should be up there in the conversation. But if you guys were interested in that pair, this metallic silver one will be dropping on the 29th. And also on the 29th, Salehe Bembury announced on his Instagram that for the first time ever, he's going to be having a Black Friday sale. And he said that he's been keeping stock of every single one of his releases so far, all his sneaker releases with New Balance, with Crocs, and then what else? He also did one with what was that Chinese brand that he did a thing with?
Was it Anta?
I think it was Anta. Yeah. So he's been keeping stock of all of them, and he'll be releasing them on with Black Friday prices in mind on the 29th. There's going to be a Salehe sale. So if you missed out on some previous Salehe pairs, best of luck. I hope you guys can cop. But we actually got to run. I know we're running late. So that's pretty much your Black Friday roundup right there. Once again, thank you guys always for listening to the pod. And I hope you guys are excited for our plans for next year. Of course, leave a comment, like let us know on Instagram. You can message either myself or Fobs. Let us know anything else you want to see on the pod, any comments.
You can now comment on Instagram too. You can now comment on on Spotify. You can now leave comments on Spotify. Exactly. So please leave us comments anywhere. You can leave a comment
on Spotify.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. Thank you. Thank you guys so much. So I'm signing out. Fobs, we'll see you next time.
Peace. Thanks for listening. Good to be back and looking forward to next month's episode, the last of the year.
Peace.